Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for joining us here on the Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick. I'm joined by Dave Smith and our guest, John Viver, Special Projects Coordinator for Illinois Family Action, and Ralph Rivera with Illinois Citizens for Life, lobbyist also for Illinois Family Action in the General Assembly. And we're a couple of weeks out from the election, but we're still kind of figuring out what's happened. We know that Donald Trump is headed to the White House, and we also know that there are going to be some changes in the legislature. Ralph, you really follow what's happening in the Springfield.
So to the listeners, there were four additional Republican seats in the Illinois House.
That's right.
Before that, the Speaker of the House, or the Democrats, had a majority of 71 votes. To tell you how powerful that is, that to override a governor's veto or to pass a constitutional amendment, you need a three-fifths vote. That's 71 votes. So now, next year, there are four less Democratic votes in the House. So now they've got 67 votes. So they can't override a governor's veto of the Democrats, anyway, against any rounder veto if that's on a budget or it's only the Democrats want it. Obviously, they can pick up Republican votes on different matters. So it's not the same, but they still have seven votes more than 60, which is the basic number you need to pass legislation. So they're still up there.
Still up there. But John Viver, it seems like some of these counties that had been blue are starting to turn red. Is that the case?
There are. It's a good sign. As I've said, it's tough to compare one election to another, but the end of the day, the end of day vote total is what matters. Heading into the next few weeks and into the next session, probably the most important thing from my take is for folks to join Gideon's Army and start getting involved and start responding to IFI and IFA requests for action, because the legislature needs to hear from them.
And thanks for mentioning Gideon's Army, John, because Gideon's Army is an initiative of Illinois Family Institute in which we're challenging our subscribers and listeners to volunteer. Say, I'm enlisting in Gideon's Army, and I will take action on every single one, if possible, of IFI's email alerts. I will take time to make sure I contact whoever we're asking you to contact. It could be a policymaker. It could actually be a corporation. But we want you to take action on these issues, because silence is complicit to the left's agenda. We want your voice. And the lawmakers, Ralph, tell me this. Is it important that the lawmakers hear from constituents back in their districts?
Oh, absolutely. Lawmakers don't really get a lot of feedback or information from constituents. You know, sometimes they'll get a big union effort where there are lots of calls coming in, but by and large, they don't get that. So every vote is an extra.
So in this session, in the General Assembly session in Springfield that's about to wrap up in January, we had over 10,000 bills introduced by our lawmakers.
Over the 2 years. Yes.
So if they hear from – I'm just going to throw a number out. Yeah. I'm risking here. So if they hear from 25 people on one bill, is that a lot?
That's good. It's not a lot, but it's good, because they don't get that kind. Let me share with you that. Let's say a legislator –
that gets their attention.
Yes. A legislator is wins the election 60% of the vote. And because everybody kind of – not everybody, obviously. People stayed home. But you get a lot more people coming out to vote. But when people write to you, if our side writes way more, we can have like 55% or 60% of the letters they get and contacts, emails can be from us. It reverses itself.
We know the activists on the other side of the issue, they're active, they're not giving up, they're not being silent, they're going to be heard. Our voice needs to counteract that, if not surpass that.
And that can be done because you have people who voted for this pro-abortion legislator.
Right.
But who don't write or call. They just show up for election time. But our people are generally more active in trying to write. So if we kick that up another 15-20%, that legislator is going to say, wow, my district doesn't like this bill.
So even if your lawmaker is a staunch pro-life, pro-family guy, is it good for them to hear from their people?
Oh, it is. They want to know and be encouraged that their district cares about this. That gets those legislators not to just be a vote, but to co-sponsor, to sponsor. I've actually had a legislator come to me and say, I'm getting calls for me not to support this pro-life bill. And they say, can you get calls into me? So that legislator can say, I'm representing my district.
We're giving them cover, saying, look, the district doesn't want it.
That's correct. And I've actually had two legislators that I can recall come to me and say, Ralph, I need you to get calls. So they want calls into their office.
And so the mushy middle guys, I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't. The on-the-fence politicians who could go either way on a particular bill, obviously our calls and emails are vital because it could push them on our side.
Well, that's right, or it gives them cover, because sometimes the other side says, why don't you represent your district? But when we then bring in calls, and then it's 60-40,
yes.
she can say to them, I am. And they go, day. Yeah.
Well, you know, State Representative Tom Morrison has told me that, and I've heard him say this in public too, that it's always good to maybe schedule a personal meeting with your state rep in the district office and meet with them one-on-one.
Well, it's good, yes. I mean, obviously, they can't meet one-on-one constantly because there are a lot of people, but you can bring a small group. You don't have to be a lot.
It's efficient to do it that way. Right. If a group from a church in the district got together, brought half dozen people to the state lawmaker's office and sat down and say, hey, this is our concerns. This is what we'd like to see you do.
Right. And if I were a legislator, I would love to have people calling me on and support of issues I care about.
Because absolutely.
I would take that list. That would be my base in the next election.
Well, and as an evangelical, and especially for church leaders listening to this podcast, what a wonderful way to build a relationship with an important person in your district. Build a relationship, and you might be able to share the gospel message with them.
Right.
Wow. Hmm. Changing hearts to get changed minds. Not bad idea.
John, these lawmakers can get the notes, they can get the phone calls, maybe even a personal visit from a constituent. But are they still, if they're a Democrat, going to be beholden to Michael Madigan?
My take is that the National Democratic Party platform is so extreme. If just talking about life, for example, I would assume that the State Democratic Party platform is almost as extreme. They're going to, if pro-life legislators start to make the case of that extreme position, some of these legislators are not going to want to go all the way, and they will respond to the public, and they will look to come across as moderating their position on abortion, for example.
And we still have a lot of work to do in the state of Illinois because even in this last election where we did have some Republican gains, not necessarily pro-life gains, we still lost some seats in this state. I mean, we lost Senator Mark Kirk. Now, was that a big loss? No. How about Congressman Bob Dole? No. John, please give me your thoughts on it because these two guys were definitely, both of these lawmakers, on the opposite side of the issues we advocate for.
And they were rabid about it.
Yes, they were.
You know, there's a difference saying, well, they've been a bad vote, but they brag about it.
They bragged about it, yeah. Absolutely.
Right.
John,
yep.
Thoughts?
If we're going to have people voting, in fact, Mark Kirk, his voting record was worse than some of the Democrats in the Illinois contingent in Washington.
Well, like Tammy Duckworth, who beat him.
Right.
They were very similar. In fact, Conservative Review had they were only separated by a few percentage points in their rankings. Conservative Review is pretty good, pretty hard on their scorecard, but it was only a few points. My talking point on that race is at least the person who was honest about their party affiliation won.
That's right. That's right. We want to expand the Republican Party to advance policy. When you have members like Dold and Kirk, they're not going to be helping us advance policy. So what's the point of having them in our party?
And too many Republicans want to say, this is the big tent. We've got to expand the tent.
You expand the tent by expanding the number of people who agree with us.
Say that again.
You expand the tent by expanding. I mean, think about what the analogy is. You need a bigger tent because there's more people. But we want them agreeing with the Republican
platform. You don't become
platform.
Democrat light, in other words.
That's right. Go over to the other tent.
Well, we saw this expand the tent idea in Springfield.
Peoria.
Peoria, right. Yeah. Back in
April. Yep.
And Dave, you know more about this than I do, but we had a victory, but we had to fight for that victory.
We did. And it was the plank in our Republican Party platform in Illinois that defines what marriage and family policy should be. And we won. And 80% of the Republicans attending that convention agreed that it should be strong. It should define traditional family and marriage. And here's the point. And I just want to jump on what John's saying. Those who agree with us aren't being reached out to in the Black and the Hispanic and the Asian communities. There's low-hanging fruit there. They in the Christian churches, in those communities, there are plenty of them who agree with us. Why aren't we working diligently instead of going, selling our souls? why aren't we working diligently to pick those people up? Anyway, that's a rhetorical question.
Well, we want to continue our discussion in just a few moments.
Americans have been traveling down the health insurance highway for decades. But lately, it's been taking us to places we don't want to go. For Christians, it's hard to know which road to take. Or is it? Samaritan Ministries provides a different direction, a biblical path for their members to pray for each other and share financially in each other's medical needs.
This idea that Samaritan has adopted from the book of Acts should permeate all parts of our lives, not just health sharing. We, as a body of believers, are living out New Testament Christianity. This is what God intended for the church.
Do you believe that you need an insurance company, or do you believe that God will provide your needs? And there are people that you've never met before who are going to pray for you and meet your needs. There's another way.
Looking for a new direction for your health care? Visit us online at SamaritanMinistries.org.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Lurick, joined by Dave Smith, the Executive Director of IFA, and also our guest, John Biver, Special Projects Coordinator for Illinois Family Action, and Ralph Rivera, a lobbyist for Illinois Family Action and Illinois Citizens for Life. And we've been talking kind of some post-election stuff about the Illinois legislature and the whole idea of broadening the tent of the Republican Party. But can we broaden the tent of social conservatives and then say, hey, you Democrats, if you don't like the extreme pro-abortion policies of your party, maybe you need to look to us.
That's right. That's why that culture war is not over. There are some battles we've lost, but with the focus being on religious liberty, we're going to be addressing the nature of what we're talking about. We are only at the T in LGBT, and that's crazy enough. So there's many letters to follow, and if we're going to concede this ground on this identity politics that somebody can be whoever they want to be instead of reality, then the American public that still has common sense is going to start moving in our direction.
You know, John, I got to ask you this, and Ralph, please weigh in if you have any thoughts on this. You know, it boggles my mind that many of the candidates who ran this last election statewide didn't pick up the whole transgender issue in our bathrooms, in our locker rooms. If anything that sparks a soccer mom's heart or passions should be protecting her daughter, I mean, why didn't they run on this, people? I don't get it.
I agree with you. I can't believe that the average mom and dad out there thinks it's a good thing for a boy or a man to go into a 10-year-old girl's locker room or bathroom. This makes sense. This is absolute. I can't see anybody, whatever side you are, that think that's a good thing for their children. And for parents in some of these school districts to say, I don't have a problem with that, I have a problem with that.
Oh, my goodness. Is it the campaign consultants, John, who are saying, oh, stay away from that? That's a landmine.
Yeah, I graduated from junior high about 4 decades ago. But it seems like some of these legislators have this mindset where they it's this stupid peer pressure, and they're afraid to address even the most common sense thing. Right. What they don't realize is that there is a segment of the population that doesn't want to think that they're alone. I think the majority, the vast majority, is with us on this transgender stuff. But if the legislators aren't talking about it, the left is able to gain ground.
Well, you know, State Representative Tom Morrison has some common sense legislation that's
right.
essentially got nowhere in the General Assembly.
But it had
Assembly.
Bipartisan support, too.
Right.
Democrats and Republicans signed on to his bill, which tells me this has significant play in the culture.
Right.
It could
right.
be. Why aren't we running on this? I mean, we could win. I'm sorry. Am I being a populist?
Well, and a reminder that his bills, Representative Morrison's bill, would say, no, boys need to go to the girls, the boys' locker room, and the boys' bathroom, and
that's
girls,
right.
The girls' bathroom, and girls' locker room. But if you are, we'll use the word gender dysphoric, gender confused, we'll set aside accommodations for you.
That's right.
Okay. And, you know, that seems like a reasonable accommodation.
A compassionate thing.
Yep. And, it says, you know, we don't hate you. We respect your rights. But Speaker Madigan doesn't want to let that bill move forward.
The safety, dignity, and privacy of our daughters. Okay, it's not just daughters, right? But really, it's who's we're focused on here. It shouldn't be compromised for the whims or the confusion of one or two students in a school district.
And a candidate could have easily – it doesn't have to say my opponent stands for that. We don't know. But he could say, I stand for protecting these young boys and girls from being their privacy violated.
That's right.
In locker rooms, in restrooms, et cetera. And we have to reach out to these gender-confused people. But we first and foremost have to protect our children, our
that's
grandchildren.
Right.
Gee, if that isn't a winning issue, I don't know what is. I
Amen.
Mean, that's
well, let's talk about this. Now that Donald Trump will be headed to the White House, will he tell the Justice Department to go after school districts that don't open their restrooms and locker rooms to the opposite sex? What, any prediction, John?
I think that changes. I think we're going to see all kinds of changes in the military as well, the big social experiments that are going on there. The people around Trump are not going to buy a lot of this Obama insanity.
Social
when it comes
experiments.
To, yes, and this it's not even constitutional or legal for him to be ordering school districts around, but
right.
That's all out the window.
Well, I'm not sure where Donald Trump comes down on this issue because remember he said, hey, Bruce Jenner, you can use my any bathroom you want in Trump Towers. So I'm not sure where he is on that issue.
Yeah, but I there's no way that stuff is so extreme and so foolish that I do not believe Trump's going to be on the wrong side.
Well, this election, there were some changes in the General Assembly, will be some changes in the General Assembly, but before the new members are
sworn in,
yep. There's a lame duck session that we need to worry about, Ralph Rivera.
Right. There is an abortion bill that popped back out alive in the Illinois House the Wednesday after the election.
Yep.
This bill,
November 9th.
House Bill 4013, and it's been around for 2 years.
That's right. It was introduced back in what, May 2015? Even before that, okay.
And so it was like in February, March of 2015. This bill would undo the longstanding ban on taxpayer funding of abortions under Medicaid. And we have a longstanding ban on state employees' group insurance policies covering abortion. This would undo that. And in my realistic estimates, I believe if this bill were to become law, we would see 15,000 new abortions in Illinois per year, all paid for by tax dollars. And the vast majority, I mean like 99.99%, would be for any reason. This is the, and if that bill passed into law,
Outrageous.
It never changes.
Would there be any limits? Could a woman, for instance, have one taxpayer paid abortion? Could she have five?
No, it doesn't state that in the bill. It just undoes all of that. It says we're not going to have a ban of any kind.
But I want to highlight what you just said. 15,000 additional abortions on top of Illinois' what, 60,000 abortions a year?
No, currently all abortions in Illinois are about 40,000.
So this will bring it up to close to 60.
This is like a 37% increase or better. This is you, and it's all taxpayer dollars, and it's all state dollars, because the federal government under the Hyde Amendment only pays for life and rape incest.
Unbelievable. John, we can afford this, right? We've got plenty of revenue in the state coffers.
This is another reason why Republican candidates and office holders have to be aware that we can win with social conservatives. If they're not talking about this issue, when bills like this come up, Ralph, our side is caught flat-footed and they don't even know how to engage the debate.
Well, let me ask this, Ralph. Would you have to be an Illinois resident to get this taxpayer-paid abortion here in Illinois?
It's a good question.
It's not funny, I'm sorry.
I don't know, because generally you have to be a resident of the state. But the residency requirement is not a 1 year or 6 months. You could cross over and say, I intend or plan to live here. And you could get, under a means or economic test, you could get this medical card, and if this law were to have passed into – or this bill passed into law, that person crossing from Missouri could get this paid for
Missouri?
By tax dollars.
Well, what about those illegal aliens in the state of Illinois who get in-state tuition? I mean, if they get in-state tuition, why not in-state abortions?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the law is on.
I know. I'm putting you on a spot. Yeah. So what do we need to do, Ralph?
You need to contact your state representative. It's in the Illinois House.
And this is the best place we can stop this bill, right?
That's correct, because it has failed two times to get enough votes. So we want to continue. I think they might feel that this is their best chance.
So they can call the Capitol Switchboard at 217-782-2000, right? During the normal business week, and ask to be transferred to their state representative.
Right. You have to say, I'd like to speak to state representative. Don't ask them, because they won't know.
Okay.
But you'd say, state representative so-and-so.
And if you don't know, you can go to our website and look it up, or you can give us a call at IFI.
Yeah, we have an official finder.
That's right.
On our website, homepage. You can click onto that.
Put in your address.
Put in your address.
Of course,
and it'll tell you who your elected officials are.
You might have more information also on. They could do it email, but
they
if you
can.
Just want
That's
to call
right.
the state operator, they'll get you to the Springfield office.
Well, I want to encourage people to do both. Go to our website, take action, send them an email, and then pick up the phone.
Yes.
Let's do
yes.
both.
Yes.
Right? And we can keep doing it all the way until the sine die, which is the end of the session, right?
That's correct.
Which is in mid-January.
It's the second Wednesday in January.
Okay.
The brand new General Assembly starts, and all legislation before that, they call it sine die, which means it doesn't exist anymore.
It dies.
So if this bill could be held off in the lame duck session.
Has to be, yes.
Okay. What happens in the new General Assembly?
Could reintroduce that bill. But it starts over, and there may be a different climate. Let me go to the state Senate, by the way. We didn't talk about that. There are 39 Democrats in the Illinois Senate. You need 30 to pass any bill. You need 36 to override a governor's veto or pass a constitutional amendment. And this year, they lost two seats in this election.
Okay.
But they still have 37. They still have one more than the necessary number to
override
to
a veto.
Override a veto.
Yeah.
They still need – you still need that's if all – now, there are pro-life senators, so it's not as if it's all
– So for Illinois Family Action, our focus is on the Illinois House.
That's right.
We need to stop this bill, House Bill 4013. We want to stop it in the Illinois House by mid-January.
That's correct.
Okay.
If it passes the Illinois House.
Let me give that phone number one more time
Senate.
To the Capitol Switchboard, 217-782-2000. Make that phone call during the week and tell your state lawmaker to vote no to House Bill 4013.
Well, we've run out of time. I'd like to thank Ralph Rivera with Illinois Citizens for Life and also a lobbyist for Illinois Family Action, John Biber, Special Projects Coordinator for Illinois Family Action. Dave, always good to be with you on Illinois Family Spotlight.
Thank you, Monty.
And thank you, folks, for joining us. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.